Beloved in Christ, be it this Christmastide our care and delight to prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and mind to go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, and the babe lying in a manger. Therefore let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And let us make this place glad with our carols of praise. And because this of all things would rejoice his heart, let us at this time remember in his name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all those who know not the Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. Lastly, let us remember with thanks before God all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in this Lord Jesus we forevermore are one. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven, and in the words which Christ himself hath taught us, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The prophet foretells the coming of Christ. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee, as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thanks be to God.
The angel appears to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, since I have no husband? And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore this child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Thanks be to God.
Luke tells the story of Christ's birth. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Thanks be to God.
Well, it is good to see you all at our carol service today. Thank you very much for coming and making it such an occasion. Let me say just one or two things by way of notices. If you're a newcomer, just to say this is not the only Tuesday we meet. We have a service every Tuesday. Normally we put out more chairs and we can seat almost everyone. So do come and join us. We meet again next on January the 13th. We have some rewiring to do in the meantime. So January the 13th is our next date. Then the last notice, I think, is to say that on your way out by the doors you'll see some large decorated boxes. And they're there because this is the one occasion when we ask people to empty their pockets on the way out. You'll find details of our collection on a piece of paper you were handed on your way in. Just to say briefly, we need £2,500 to support three of these orphan children in the Philippines for another year. And to thank you in advance for your generosity. Now, if you take the order of service and just turn over to the back for a few moments as we get down to business today. I want us to focus on these words from Luke's Gospel, in particular on that middle paragraph. And I'm hoping that it'll put your Christmas into focus as it's begun to put mine. as I started to think of Christmas this year, I suppose any thoughts I might have had of gazing sentimentally on a baby were dismissed by this middle paragraph. I found I had to look with awe at a king instead. I've been reading again one of my favourite books, and its last chapter is entitled The Art of Being Wrong. It just recounts a number of embarrassing mistakes that people have made, very costly in terms of judgment on others. The embarrassment of a Munich schoolmaster who said to Albert Einstein, age 10, "You will never amount to very much." The cost in millions to Decca Recording Company when they turned down the Beatles with the words, "We don't like their sound, groups of guitars are on the way out." Or most costly of all, the general who looked over the parapet of his fort at the enemy lines and uttered the immortal final words, "They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance." Well, they're very easy to say, aren't they? And very costly. And we're all prone to being wrong. Which is why God sent the angel Gabriel to explain what was going on. It's why Luke went to great pains to make sure we could know the truth. Because he knew that nothing is more costly than getting Christmas wrong. And there seems to be little that is easier to do than to get Christmas wrong. So away with sentimentality, please. Let's put nostalgia on one side for the next 10 minutes as we get down to the facts and to this king who came into the world that first Christmas. I want to just say three things about this king. The first is this: he is a powerful king. This Jesus, whom the angel is speaking of, is a powerful king. He is no mere constitutional monarch. Please let's get that idea out of our heads. He will be great, the angel said. His kingdom, there will be no end. He must be powerful, mustn't he, if that's to happen. No other ruler has been powerful enough for that in history. See how easy it is for us to get it wrong, isn't it? I mean, a baby is a picture of weakness. We all look down at a baby. We have to. And yet here we have the picture of a person of great power, a colossal figure. Why, a great ruler that not only Israel, but the world has never seen the likes of before or since. And if you read the gospel story, you discover that this Jesus is always claiming authority and power. He claims it for what he says. That he has the truth about God, about man, that's you and me, about himself. Even when he's dying, he's speaking with authority. The authority that can guarantee paradise to an individual. But he's not a mere sentimental dispenser of God's pardon and gifts. Now, there's something uncomfortable about this authority and power. There's something that leaves him in control all the time. He has power over spirits, over disease, over wind and waves, over death, over men's lives. He says, "Follow me." And they leave everything and follow him. What an uncomfortably powerful king this is. And how easy on this first coming, in so much weakness and humility, it is for us to miss it and get it wrong. To forget that all the time there are pointers to his second coming. When every knee shall bow, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, we must submit. Jesus, a powerful king who can return at any minute. But more than that, look at that paragraph again, will you? Notice, he's not only a powerful king, he's the exclusive king. The Jews of the day were looking for God's rescuing Messiah. They would have expected him to come from David's line, to be given the throne of his father David. But they would have been as surprised as any to hear that he would reign forever. forever. What a figure. Kingdoms going on. Yes, we can begin to grasp that, but a king who reigns forever? And you do see what it means, don't you? It means that the position has been taken. The position of God's appointed, anointed king has been taken. There are no vacancies anymore. If he is going to reign forever. Oh, a case for the Monopolies Commission, perhaps, and it's beyond their scope. They have no say in this appointment. There's a joke going the rounds at the moment about a man who goes too close to a cliff edge and falls over. And halfway down, he hangs onto a bush. And hanging there, he looks below him, and there's rock a long way down. And he looks up, and it's too far to climb back to the top. So he just cries out in desperation, "Is anyone there?" And a voice comes back, "This is the Lord your God." So he cries out again, "Help!" And the voice says, "Let go, I'll catch you." And he looks down, and there's 100 feet of nothing until the bottom. And he thinks for a moment, and then looking up, he shouts again, "Is anyone else there?" Well, unlike perhaps for that man, God has given to us plenty of evidence of his impeccable record of catching. But there are times when, faced with the powerful authority of Jesus, we're tempted to cry, aren't we, "Is there anyone else there?" The answer is no. He is God's appointed king forever, exclusive. Do I want to know God? Then I must take the trouble to find out about Jesus. See, God isn't hiding behind any official secrets act. He's happy for the truth to come out, and Jesus is the one he's appointed to reveal himself. Do I want to serve God? Then I must discover how I can serve Jesus. He is God's one and only King. Isn't it hard, looking down at a baby, to realize that this is the King we all have to look up to? A powerful King. An exclusive King. Lastly, a contemporary King. He's King forever. So he's king for 1986. It's obvious, isn't it? It wouldn't be worth saying if the implications weren't so devastating. It completely throws overboard so many pictures people have. Christianity as a museum piece. You know it? Christmas as nostalgia, or dusting off the pages of the history books. They all founder on this phrase, forever. Now, this is God's Christmas message for 1986. This is your King. He couldn't be more up to date. He couldn't be more relevant. He couldn't be more contemporary. This is what God has to say today. He has nothing more important to say to us today than this. This Jesus is your King. For a man not knowing where to go. For a city wondering where it should turn next to sort itself out. For people longing for someone to follow. What could be more encouraging? How does it work out in practice, you ask? Well, let me just finish with that. It depends which group you belong to. If you belong to the group of people who already acknowledge him as king, then it's encouraging news, isn't it? It's encouraging to say there's no need to be ashamed. This king to whom you've surrendered is the king who one day will be seen as king. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of being known as his. Don't hold back on your service. Jesus is your king. If you belong to the other group, and please, there is only one other group, if you belong to the group who do not as yet follow him, it's encouraging news, isn't it? Encouraging not to say, oh, well, this Christmas, start giving to him, give your money, give your hearts, as if Jesus needs to receive from us. But rather, encouraging the reverse way. You see, if this Jesus is the King and you've been rebelling against him, what you need is mercy, pardon, forgiveness, life, all the things a king has in his hand. And this King is Jesus. And that name means the Lord is salvation, or God to the rescue. And he lives up to his name. He's a powerful king. He possesses all these things. He's God's exclusive king. He's the only one who can effectively deliver them. And he came to make sure we could have them, so do ask him for them. If you're belonging to that group, the group that don't yet follow him, this Christmas, don't be a giver. Be an asker. Grace, mercy, pardon, life. Ask from Jesus the King. Amen. May the peace of the Prince of Peace and the mercy and the life of Jesus the King be ours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.